following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
One in five collisions is caused by drivers who simply can't see out their windshield because of badly worn or cracked wiper blades. If your wiper blades are streaking, skipping, or smearing, it's time to stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and let our team of professionals help you select the replacement wiper blade that's right for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Home Depot has made a special buy. Right now, Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs of incandescent bulbs are only $3.97 each. That works out to less than 50 cents a bulb, which also works out nicely for your wallet. So come in, stock up, and save on Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs right now, only $3.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only 57-watt bulbs in California.
If you follow high school sports, you get the opportunity to be excited about this. If you don't follow high school sports, I'll shut the radio off. No, 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 that's not right. We're going to talk college sports. We're going to talk pro sports. I think we kind of do that every day.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with Doug Duda.
Can you do the show today? I need to go take a nap. I lay stuff out for you and you just bury it. I thought my pile on my side of the desk was an embarrassment. I do things for you on this show all the time. I'm always giving for you.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
Get over here and sit on my lap, sweet baby.
Oh, Tierra Park wasn't her name?
No.
Oh.
No.
Does that change the way you look at things?
Get in contact by emailing the Dent Popper inbox at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com or give us a call on the Bruce Furniture fan line at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776. Now let's head to the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome back inside the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth for another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Who messed with this chair? Wait a minute. Or am I just getting shorter?
I think you're getting shorter.
Something else around here that doesn't work? Imagine that. Glad to have you with us. Coming up, Tom Dienhardt for the Big Ten Network, senior writer. We're going to be talking with him on the program today. Also, we're going to be chatting with, oh, man. I just look at all the great guests we've had over the last couple of weeks. I looked at last Thursday. Jim Craig was on this show, Olympic gold medalist. How great. I don't know if we're going to top that today, but Tom's going to join us. Bill Carlin, football coach at Adams Central, is going to join us as they get ready to open their playoffs tomorrow. Jeff Erickson, fantasy football senior editor from RotoWire, RotoWire.com. Get your fantasy football questions in, as there, again, buys and injuries mean that you got to go find some junk maybe on the waiver wire, guys you've never heard of. Who do you go pick up?
Oh, don't forget suspensions if you got Cedric Benson this week. Gone.
Yeah, Bernard Scout was picked up in all every league I'm in a long time ago, so I don't even have to look there. We got some vultures. Vultures in our leagues. I mean, I'm picking up some tight end from New York that I've never heard of, and all of a sudden he's doing something.
Well, when you don't work, most of the people in our leagues.
Well, that is true. That is true. Well, waivers go through at 4 in the morning on Wednesday. I'm up! I'm here!
Set your alarm.
Hey, folks, if you're on the road and you're traveling to playoff games like the folks maybe from Shadron to St. Paul or the folks that are headed from the Dunning Sandhill Stedford area out to Shelton, from Bayard to Hastings, wherever you might be going, glad to have you along with us here on ESPN 1460 and 1550 for the next hour. We do the local, state, and national scene, and the exciting time of year. It's not going to be hot, but it's going to be football playing weather this evening. It'll be crisp tonight, a reason to put those sweatshirts on from Misco's and head out to your ball game.
Yeah, maybe you have a little buddy heater or something right with you in that press box.
Little buddy? Little buddy? Maybe a little sun heat? Hey, get yourself a little sun heat heater? Put it down there? Turn it on? Heat the whole press box.
Everybody's getting crazy about this all the jumbling going on in college football. And West Virginia and Louisville now seem to be suitors for the Big 12. Barry Trammell stays on top of it, and we've had Barry on this show a lot, and we enjoy Barry, and he's got great insight. he's come up with a way, and it's really not all that crazy and far-fetched how a five-way tie could occur in the Big 12. And there's all these scenarios, and we'll try and run to some of them down later. But with the teams,
what's your favorite one?
Well, I mean, the number one that he points out says Kansas State beat Oklahoma this weekend, but loses to Oklahoma State and Texas A&M. Wildcats would finish 7-2, provided it wins its other games at Texas and home versus Iowa State. Not a crazy, you know, that's not an outlandish scenario to come up with. He says not crazy. The second one, OU loses to Kansas State, beats Texas A&M and Oklahoma State, plus wins its other games at Baylor and home versus Iowa State. Not crazy.
Okay, my head hurts. My head hurts.
I mean, it goes on.
Is that another reason we got out of the conference?
I think.
Because they can't slap there with either.
Yeah.
That's why we're in the good old Big Ten, learning the Big Ten way. And from the Big Ten Network, from the Big Ten Network, Tom Dienhart joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk a little Big Ten football and Huskers Michigan State. Tom, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio.
I appreciate you guys having me. I'm actually in Chicago right now, Big Ten basketball media days. How about that?
Well, I will tell you one thing. Nobody cares about Nebraska. We love Doc Sadler, but you take a look at Brandon Ubell is who they took there. I don't know if half Nebraska basketball fans could tell you about Brandon, but all the polls coming out and Ohio State, the unanimous number one.
Solinger supposed to have lost a bunch of weight. Can you confirm that, Tom?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't been able to get him on the scale yet here today, but I'm going to keep an eye on him at lunch, see how much he eats here at the lunch in here in an hour or so.
And, Tom, I know you're also trying to keep an eye on that World Series.
Yeah, you know, I'm from St. Louis, and it's been exciting so far. So we'll see if the Cardinals can pull it off and backs against the wall. And then, gosh, the national debate going back to the dubious bullpen decision of a couple of days ago just continues to rage on.
Well, Tom, we always talk about how maybe nobody's as good or as bad as they were the previous week. Well, Michigan State is riding a national high right now. Your thoughts, Michigan State. Do you put them as the best team in the conference because they beat Wisconsin, or does that still go elsewhere in your mind right now?
You know, I still think it's Wisconsin. I know people that drives some people crazy when teams meet head-to-head and one team loses and you still think the other team's better, but I don't think that's such a crazy notion. I think we all realize most anybody can beat anybody else on any given day, but I know this is never going to happen if these teams play 10 times. I think the Badgers win 9 of them, so I still think they're the better team. Again, that was a tough loss for them, obviously. But again, they're still in the midst of what's been a brutal run through October. And I tell you what, if they can continue their hot streak by getting a win in Nebraska, it'll be incredible, guys. But I think the Vegas odds makers have Nebraska as the favorite, which surprises some people. But again, I guess not me, because, again, it's going to be difficult for Michigan State to stay dialed in and week out against these heavyweight foes.
Tom, you go back to Big Ten media days, football media days in Chicago. You know, the main thing was Nebraska people looking at that schedule going, unbelievably, how tough. They've stuck it to us this first year. But you look at Michigan State's schedule, they were jammed up too. That was not an easy road, 4 of those games in a row.
Exactly. A lot of heavy lifting for the Spartans, and you're right. And most people thought Nebraska did have the toughest schedule of anybody in the Big Ten, but you're right. Michigan State's run, just an incredible gauntlet here. Again, the Michigan game, the Wisconsin game was incredible as well. Now this game in Nebraska, and of course earlier the Notre Dame game. So, again, you have to be impressed with D'Antonio and how he's been able to navigate through this tough, half or so of the season. And I think right now if you had to give, half-season Coach of the Year awards, I think you probably have to give it to D'Antonio because back in August, at those media days in Chicago, nobody was talking about Michigan State as being a real contender for the Big Ten championship.
Tom, explain to Nebraska people how the Rose Bowl means everything in the Big Ten. We're just getting used to that, but it seems to be Michigan State, all they want to do is go to the Rose Bowl. It's better than the national title game. It's the Rose Bowl.
I just think it's tradition. I mean, I'm a guy who grew up in Indiana. I went to Purdue, so I was sort of ensconced in that same mentality my whole life. That was the be-all and end-all. It wasn't always the national championship. It was just getting to that holy grail. the sunshine on January 1st in Pasadena, California. So again, it's kind of, some people, outsiders, think it's a strange mindset. You know, SEC fans think the Big Ten people are crazy. But again, it's a special event. It's a special bowl. It's flat out the best bowl, I think, as far as any across the country. And I've been to all the big ones. And again, that is just, again, the be all end all for Big Ten fans. And for Michigan State, you know, they haven't been there since 1988. When obviously Tony Mandovich was their star player, so that shows you how long those have been for the Spartans and how hungry they are to get back out there.
Doug, press box in Madison, Wisconsin. I saw the Rose Bowl representatives. They were in attendance. I flat out asked, I said, "Sir, I'm new to this." I said, "Well, I'm from Nebraska. Why is the Rose Bowl so? Why is?"
Well, it used to be the money.
I just flat out asked him, and he got a grin on his face about, well, you'll learn. It is the best. I think that was the grin he had on his face.
Well, Tom Dienhardt.
Have you been out to the Rose Bowl before?
No, I've never been to the Rose Bowl.
We were at the Coliseum. So that was it.
There you go. So, you know, I think that it'll answer a lot of your questions if you do get out there one day to experience that entire aura of the Rose Bowl experience.
Tony, I think, and Tom Dienhardt joins us here from a Big Ten Network, I think one of the reasons that the Rose Bowl does such a great job is because that one time a year, they love to have a decent football team play there.
That could be very true, too.
And feel that, Neuheisel. Tommy, Nebraska loses another defensive tackle in practice this week in Thaddeus Randall. Bo Pelini has not made, he just confirmed it. He's out this week. From what we're hearing, it could be the rest of the season. They've already lost Jared Crick. How big of an impact is that going to have in this football game, do you think?
Well, I think it'll be big. It's a Michigan State team that, number one, the line is not tremendous. Entering the year is sort of a weakness, but it's getting better. So, again, to have that Michigan State offensive line go against a frugally depleted Nebraska front will help. And this is a Michigan State offense, too, guys. Three deep at running back. Some physical guys like Edwin Baker as well. So, again, it's just not a good situation if that's the case for Nebraska's front. But they're going to have to take away something Michigan State, you think, it could be the run. And, Ian, that's going to be a harder goal to accomplish now within the ranks in the interior. And you know what? If Michigan State can keep that Nebraska defense off balance with the run and the pass, you know, Kirk Cousins can pass to B.J. Cunningham and company, it could be difficult for Nebraska's defense to get off the field consistently.
What advantage do you see for the Huskers in this one, Tom?
You know what? I think, number one, so some of them are going to be more intangible advantages, I think. You know, the home field, and I'm a big intangible guy, I believe in that. I think that's going to be an advantage for Nebraska. And also, I think it's just a sense of urgency, guys. I mean, this is, in some ways, I think, an elimination game of more so for Nebraska than Michigan State in the Legends Division. Michigan State can afford to lose and still stay in the hunt. Nebraska cannot afford to lose. I think we all would agree on that. If they lose, probably not going to win the Legends Division, not going to get the Indianapolis title game. So I think, again, the home field, the sense of urgency for Nebraska are going to be a couple of things to fuel them. And I think, again, just again, going back to the top of this segment, and Michigan State and its ability to continue to take on these heavyweight foes week after week. Can they get up again for another big opponent, this time on the road? So those are the type of things I think are really going to play to Nebraska's advantage here on Saturday.
Talking with Tom Dienhardt of the Big Ten Network. He's at Basketball Media Days right now, and football is what we're chatting about. I'm interested. We still have a much easier path believed for Michigan State, much tougher path for Nebraska with the games at Penn State and at Michigan. This is the point where Michigan has gone in the tank under previous administrations. Are they going to go in the tank again?
You know what? I think it's possible. I like what Brady Hoke has done. I think his staff overall is better than Rodriguez's staff with obviously Greg Madison, one of the defense outboards the offense. But the big butt in Ann Arbor is the personnel, particularly defensively. While they are playing better, while they aren't beating themselves like they were last year, I still don't know if the personnel is up to the standards to be an upper-level, consistently upper-level Big Ten team. So I would not be shocked, again, if Michigan does suffer some type of a swoon down the stretch. I don't see this team winning more than 7 or 8 games, which is still good and similar to what they did last year. But, again, I would suspect that we're going to see a slide. Maybe not quite as severe as recent years under Rodriguez, but still – a slide nonetheless through December, or I should say through November for the Michigan Wolverines.
They take on Purdue this week, Daddy.
Tom, give us your take on that other division behind Wisconsin. Who's the next best team?
Penn State sitting at the top.
Well,
right
I mean,
now.
I'm just
Penn State wins that game. Look out! Who'd have thought it?
Yeah, but who's behind that. Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, first, just to, again, we talk about Michigan State, Nebraska, big Legends Division game. Well, this week there's also Ohio State playing a big ball game as well against Wisconsin. So, again, keep your eye on that. But I still think, again, Wisconsin's the cream of the crop. And, again, you talked about Penn State, 7-1. You know, maybe Paterno's the midseason coach of the year. But, again, look at the back half of the Penn State schedule. I think you're going to see that's where they have a lot of big obstacles to try and navigate and negotiate their way through. Now, they are going to enter the stretch run awfully hot. Michigan State's got the best defense statistically. Penn State's right behind them. And, again, that's going to help Penn State down the stretch. But I still think offensively they're a little bit too pedestrian. Quarterback situation's been muddled all year. Silas Webb's a nice back, but again, I just don't know if there's enough balance to make them the type of team that could win that division. And in the end, I think, again, Wisconsin's going to end up knocking off Penn State, and it'll be a huge battle over in that leaders' division later this year.
Tom Dienhart with us for just another minute here on the Big Ten Network. Something that's just come up on the Journal Star blog from Brian Christofferson is an article in the Lansing State Journal today, I believe it is, talking about how, and this will be an interesting tie-in that we haven't talked about, Michigan State came after Tom Osborne a couple of times late in his career, and in the article today, it says that Osborne really considered going the year after he retired from Nebraska because he missed coaching. Tom, do you think there's any truth to the thought that Osborne helped get Michigan State pointed in the right direction? I mean, I know they consulted him a bunch of times trying to find, you know, they took Nick Saban and D'Antonio. They've talked to him in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd probably like to believe that. If you're Michigan State and you were talking to Tom Osborne, well, back in the late 90s about taking your job, but he declined it. I think at that point, you at least want to ask the guy, hey, what do you think? What direction should we go? What should our next move be? So yeah, I would like to think that Michigan State's hierarchy and top honchos were smart enough to at least pick Osborne's brain for information if he was going to take the job. You know, Michigan State's fate since then, the last, 10, 12 years, he's been pretty good. You talked about Nick Saban. He had some glory years there, got him in some nice bowl games. John L. Smith era, not so great, I guess, but right now Mark D'Antonio has his program rolling since arriving from Cincinnati a few years ago, and well-established, has the upper hand in their own state, recruiting well. So, again, it would have been nice to have gotten Osborne, maybe, but I think at this point Michigan State fans have to be thrilled with D'Antonio and what he's been able to do there and the level he's been able to take in that Michigan State program.
Well, and a little unknown knowledge, too, in the 03 Alamo Bowl, these two teams had to be separated in a pregame meal. So there's bad blood already.
Well, I ain't not off, but that was a game Bo Pelini was the interim head coach, right?
Yeah, he's 1-0. That's the only team he was 1-0 against coming into this Big Ten deal.
So like I said, there's some fun storylines there. I didn't realize there was a little skirmish at a meal before that event. So, again, maybe, I know it was a long time ago, but I'm all about rivalries and animosity, and those are what make college football and college sports great.
Nobody got punched, but there were some chairs thrown, from what I understand.
Pro wrestling action. Just holding a chair over the back.
Well, I don't expect we're going to see any of that because it's just too darn early on Saturday morning. Hey, Tom, we'll let you get back to basketball. Is there a nugget this morning you want to share with the folks? Anything that caught your eye?
Well, you know, at this point, you know, Doc Sadler, I mean, I know basketball fans aren't big hoop fans, but, you know, he's obviously pretty enthusiastic and is awfully excited this morning. Just about getting the chance to experience Big Ten basketball and going to some of those iconic venues, particularly places, you know, up like in Bloomington, Indiana. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see their first go around in the Big Ten. I know it's a big mountain to climb, but, you know, if a Husker fan's once the football season ends, there's going to be some fun talented basketball players swinging through Lincoln as well for them to check out.
Well, we love Nebraska basketball, and I think Nebraskans love Nebraska basketball when they win, and that's been, well, unfortunately, a little too few and far between. But, Tom, we'll let you get back to work. We sure appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN, and hope to see you soon.
Take care. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Dienhardt, great guest from the Big Ten Network. And he's done so much work with recruiting, baseball. He's and now, of course, covering basketball. He's on it, and we're glad to have
Good
Tom join
nice
us.
Nice guy. Real nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
Very knowledgeable. Very knowledgeable about both divisions.
God, this could be the ironic twist. T.O. helped Michigan State get good, and they're the ones that are going to hose us the first few years of the Big Ten Conference.
Just relax. We're going to be fine.
Lansing State Journal, if you Google that up today, folks. It was a great Husker lunch yesterday at Cunningham's. And, folks, if you're not going to the Husker game, then go to Cunningham's to watch it. And you can be there anytime. Lunch specials with the kitchen, great food every day. Yesterday, went with the bacon-wrapped shrimp pasta. Excellent, as usual. And
I
the steak
a bacon
tips.
Wrapped shrimp salad, which is...
You're a salad guy. I mean, anybody that knows you can tell you that Daddy's a salad guy. He likes to mix it up. Yesterday was salad day.
Loved it. Loved it. Get the Juicy Lucy. You know what? Want some ribs? Great. Everything. You know what? We have not tasted anything we would not get again at Cunningham's Journal. No, everything off the menu.
No doubt about it. Pizza, prime rib, chicken, brisket sandwiches, burgers, just some munchables. Well, they've got wings, fried pickles. I got to try those next time. Sliders, it's all right there. And, of course, plenty of live entertainment every weekend. This weekend, they're featuring Bad Grammar Overload, a high-energy party band out of Colorado, Friday and Saturday night. So, tailgate it after the Kearney High game on Friday night and get ready for the Huskers on Saturday. And after the Huskers win, who's not going to be in a good mood to tear it up on Saturday, and probably some Halloween festivities are out there for you as well. Don't forget, every Saturday, Husker Tailgate Party with the coldest draft beer in town on tap and Coors Light Red Beers, Nebraska Pint Specials throughout the day as the Huskers take on Michigan State on their 10-foot projection screen. And there's so many TVs in there, all the other games you want to watch as well, but Huskers everywhere. Cunningham's the place to be for sports, live entertainment with Bad Grammar Overload this weekend and lunch at 23rd Street. Downtown Kearney. When we come back, more high school sports talk with Bill Carlin, the head football coach at Adams Central. Last segment of the show, Jeff Erickson, senior editor of RotoWire. Can you believe that his top wide receiver in all of the NFL this week, fantasy people? He's back, Steve Smith of Carolina, who I took last week and did not hit a home run in our touchdown-only league. But find out more nuggets like that and who's good on the waiver wire. Send us your emails. Facebook us your fantasy football questions. And, of course, as always, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're back after this.
When you want an easier way to deal with the hassles of fraud this season, we're with you. With a debit card or credit card from Wells Fargo, you're covered with zero liability protection, which means you won't be held responsible for any unauthorized purchases or ATM transactions if promptly reported. We'll also protect your money by monitoring your account for unusual activity. And you'll be happy to know this built-in protection won't cost you a thing. Call, click, or stop by today to learn more about our zero liability protection. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Tuition is expensive, in-state, out-of-state, it doesn't matter. And even though you may not have had perfect standardized test scores, Dr. Pepper thinks you deserve free tuition to make your dreams come true. Go to drpepper.com and submit a one-minute video telling us how you want to make an impact on the people around you, your community, or maybe even the world. You may be one of the winners to get a piece of the millions in tuition being given away this college football season, courtesy of Dr. Pepper. Now that's one of a kind. Go to drpepper.com for more details and full official rules. No purchase necessary.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Trick or treat at the second annual Hastings Halloween Bike Show on Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th at the Adams County Fairgrounds. Admission is $6. Kids 12 and under get in free. Bike entries that will wow you. Enter the Mechanical Bull Riding Contest. Win door prizes. Hastings Halloween Bike Show is a fundraiser to benefit the Crossroads Center Rescue Mission. Trick or treat for your community. Complete information about the show, vendor space, and entries at HastingsHalloweenBikeShow.com.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures top off at about 54 for a high. Winds out of the west will stay from 5 to 15. For today, with clear to partly cloudy skies, we head back to 26 with a light west wind. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 45.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure this was cranked up last night. And the radio. Happy birthday, you psychotic Riverdale dude. I mean, who doesn't celebrate their birthday bowling? That's what I do.
That's
keep it calm, play some Keno.
Marlboro Red, Miller High Life, mayonnaise.
About time for our women's bowling team to crank it up again, ain't it?
I would hope. It'd be very shortly. We're looking forward to that as well.
Well, I'm sure it's a nice morning to relax, or afternoon or evening, on your new recliner or love seat or sofa from the folks at Bruce Furniture in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. How about that new Serta mattress? Wait a minute. You got up this morning, you went, what am I doing? Why does my back hurt? Why am I grumpy? Why did I not sleep well last night? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons, but maybe one of them is that lumpy old mattress. Check out the new ones at Bruce Furniture, Serta Mattresses, and they'll take care of you. And Bruce Furniture says, anytime they deliver the furniture, first they deliver it. That's part of the deal. And you don't even have to clear out the old stuff, because they'll gladly take care of the heavy work for you. Saves you the effort of moving your stuff around with just the right movers for you. They'll take it out, take it wherever you want within reason. That's what they do for you. No after-the-sale add-ins, no fine print. The price of a piece of furniture or mattress is that price. They're there for you at Bruce Furniture. Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. You can like them on Facebook. You can check them out online at brucefurniture.com. John says, hey, guys, why will Nebraska win on Saturday? Because Phil Steele says so, 24-21, and that's good enough for me, John and Kearney.
Well, he is the doctor of football knowledge.
Oh, man, that is good stuff. And, wow, hopefully it goes well for the Huskers. Again, I'm worried about Nebraska fan again, because you're going to have all day Saturday to fester if they get beat in this football game. Sunday, Monday, the season will be over. The year will be over. It'll be a catastrophe. It'll be the worst thing that's ever happened. And this team will have two losses with the ability to run the table. But Nebraska fans want to go to the championship game, and so do I, and I hope that's what this game is all about. Nebraska can lose one more game, and again, a lot of people pick 10-2 as a record. Nebraska can lose one more game. It just can't be Saturday if they're going to Indianapolis.
So dead on that, so dead on, especially with the way the last week, everything fell right for Michigan State. They've stumbled in the past on the road in big games, some not big games, but they've stumbled on the road. Hopefully they come in here. Maybe Nebraska pounces early and gets something good go right and can continue the momentum.
Well, Nebraska, as we mentioned yesterday briefly on the show, Steve Sipple touched on it, and he talked more about it during the Husker lunch at Cunningham's, but made official Thad Randall out for the Huskers. And now redshirt freshman Jay Guy is in there at defensive tackle with Baker Steinkuhler, Chase Roman, Terrence Moore. So you've got a lot of guys right now that have not played a lot of football, Roman, Guy being two of those.
Yeah, and that's obviously a big concern. You were concerned when your All-American went down, but anytime you're losing one of the older backups that's been around, been in the program, and you're inserting redshirt freshmen, yeah, if those guys were marquee great players, they would have been playing, and they're not.
We also talked with Rick Squires on the show yesterday, UNK volleyball coach. Tony, the regional rankings came out yesterday afternoon. Something has to be done. This format is insane. Again, put me in a room with these morons that come up with these decisions.
Let me guess. 1, 2, 4, 5, and 7 in the country are all in that.
Well, we already know that the Central Region is by far the toughest, and Peter Yazvak tells me that next year the MIAA and Northern Sun come in, and then the RMAC kind of gets out of this region, and it'll be even tougher. And that's what Coach Squires mentioned yesterday. Okay, number one in the region, Minnesota Duluth. They're unbeaten, ranked second in the coaches' poll. Number two in the region is Concordia St. Paul. They were beaten in 5 sets by Minnesota Duluth just a little over a week ago. That's their only loss of the year. They are the 4-time defending national champions, and they are ranked 4th in the country. Now, for some reason, Colorado Mines is 3rd, and they're ranked 21st in the country. They've played more regional opponents, but you got to beat these guys, I thought, to be up that high. The bottom line is, if UNK can take care of their business the next 2 weeks, they'll easily pass Mines and play Mines one more time. They'll pass them. UNK is 4th at 23-1. Then they got the win, 24-1. So they're 23-1. UNK ranked 6th in the coaches' poll. Metro State is 5th in the region, 10th in the coaches poll. Southwest Minnesota State, 6th in the region, 9th in the country. 7th team is Minnesota State. Minnesota State is 7th in the region. And in the national poll, they are 19th.
What's their record?
They are 15-7. Now, again, when you keep getting beat by
but they're
the
playing
top,
those yeah, other
those
teams.
Northern Sun teams. Right. You're getting beat by the Northern Sun. And finally, for some reason, Winona State is in here in the number 8 spot. The top 8 teams make it in. Winona State is 13-10 overall, but 9-9 in their region against some of these teams. Winona State in the number 9 spot, and they are not ranked, and I don't know how they're not ranked in the top 25. But here's the deal. Regis is 25th. They are 10th in the region. 25th in the country, 64 teams make the tournament. Regis isn't even really close to getting in right now. And Wayne State.
Who the Lopers play?
Tuesday night. 13th in the country, 17-6, and they are 9th in this region. If the playoffs started today, they would not be in the tournament. I mean, can you imagine being the number 3 team in the ACC behind North Carolina and Duke, pick whoever that might be? You're 28-7. And you don't even get invited to the dance. You got to put this in terms that people will realize. And this is insane. You're going to have teams that don't deserve to be in the top 100 making this tournament, and you're going to have teams in the top 25 in the country not get in. Doesn't that just shout wrong? I mean, doesn't any sane person realize this is wrong?
Well, you know what? They've done it for years and years, though, Doug, and it's the same regions that are the toughest ones, and we're not going to move the campus. They've got to change
the rules. Juggle the reasons regions every once in a while. They don't have to be the same region for 20 years. Move them around. Even the NSAA has got that down a little bit. You're not always in the same sub-district. You're not always in the same district. Once in a while, you are. But you're not always. With the perennial powers, Hastings College volleyball team, a heck of a game last night, but they did lose in 4 sets to Nebraska Wesley, and all the sets very close. 3 of them went extra points. They'll play host to Northwestern Saturday. Hastings men improved to 16-1 on the soccer field with a 4-0 win over Wesleyan. And the UNK wrestling team picked to finish 4th in the Division II preseason coaches poll. We touched on that yesterday. We touched on the Nebraska danger schedule as well. So there you go. With what's going on in the world of sports outside of Husker football and the NFL, and there's college football games on every night this week.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh won last night, and nobody was there to see it.
Yeah, big. Well, their running back saw it.
Well, yeah, Bill Carlin's going to join us here in just a second as our high school football playoff preview continues. But yeah,
that's a blow.
One of the top running backs in the country. Yes, he's on Pitt's team, but wow, and you could tell, bad.
Yeah, you immediately could tell that there was going to be probably a season-ending deal.
Our playoff preview continues on the Doug and Daddy Show with the head football coach of the Adams Central Patriots, Bill Carlin. They get a rematch here in Class B against Gehring. But before we get into breaking that down and the first time that they played against each other, Coach, welcome back to the show. You guys have had a pretty exciting season so far.
Yeah, we have. We've been in very close ball games throughout the year and been able to pull out a few and lost a couple. But it's been a fun year, and it's been a challenging year for our bunch and our coaching staff, but I think overall we've been pretty satisfied.
You've told me about the injuries. Is that the challenging part, or what else has been challenging about this season?
Well, I think, you know, we've had one game that we won pretty handily and at the beginning of the year and one at the end of the year, and in between there we had 7 games that one game was decided by 10, one by 1, one by 3, one by 4, another one by 4, and another one by 3. So all of our kids, basically our best kids, our starters, have played all the games. I mean, they have not had a chance to say, hey, we're out of this, or we got a big lead, let's sit down and rest our starters. That hasn't been the case. We've been playing right up to the buzzer and the last second sticked off. So they haven't had much rest, so they do have a lot of hits and dings into their body right now, and that's probably been the hardest part.
The losses are to Aurora, Crete, and McCook, which are solid football programs, and as you said, they've all come down to the fourth quarter, and you've had leads in those ball games. What will be the difference, or what has been the thing that has kind of held you back from not getting the W, at least in those games?
Well, I think a lot of them, you can look almost at one or two plays, and I think, you know, in many of your big games, when that happens, I think that you can always look back to one or two plays and see, you know, hey, if this play would have gone the other way, that might have changed the outcome of the ball game. And I think that happened probably with our games with Aurora. We came down to we had gotten within a point with about less than a minute to go and decided to go for two in the win and did not convert. And then we had our game with McCook. We were down by three, but we got down to the 8-yard line after about a nine. We started at 12 and had driven down to their 8, and then on third down threw an interception in the end zone, which stopped that game. And so we lose those two games where one play maybe would have changed the outcome there. And in the Creek game, we were down by four with 4 minutes to go, and they're a very, very good team, and they got the ball back and scored before the clock ran out. But with 4 minutes left yet, we still had a chance.
Well, and you guys have obviously done some very good things to put yourself in position not only to win those games but to win the six that you've had. You've mentioned that you've got some injuries, and we're talking with Adams Central coach Bill Carlin. No team is going to be 100% healthy, at least that has played some solid football at this time of the year. Can you fill us in on who's banged up and how that may affect your game plan this week?
Well, at this time, I think our water boy's healthy. You know, all our kids got a few dings and bumps on them just from playing the physical style of ball that we play, plus the teams that we play are very physical. And so everybody's got a ding, but I think probably most teams in the state would say that they're good ball players, have a bump or bruise on them someplace if they've been playing a lot. But last week we had Kevin Holland, one of our big tackles, sprained an ankle, and he's kind of questionable for Friday night. And Derek Nissen, one of our offensive linemen, also had a shoulder problem a little bit. So those two guys are kind of questionable. We're hoping that we can put our hands on them just the right way and that they have some healing powers to bring those guys back, because we could sure use them.
Bill Carlin, the head football coach of Adams Central, joins us. They're going to be hosting Gehring at 7 o'clock Friday night in the state playoffs in Class B. Well, there's no surprise that you've got another kid in Jake Fowler that's a 1,000-yard rusher, over 1,250 right now. But how long has it been since, or have you ever had a 1,000-yard passer, Bill? Because Kyle's going to get there.
We have the last 2 years, actually. Matt Overmiller, we've kind of, when we went to Class B, had to open things up a little more. And Matt Overmiller actually has passed for over 1,300 the last couple years for us. And before that, we had, I'm trying to think who was before that, but we had a good quarterback then that also threw, too. And so Class B has forced us to open things up, and I've learned as I've gone along, but I'm an old dog, but I can still learn some new tricks. So we do have to throw the ball a little bit more now.
And I get that was kind of my follow-up, if that was why we've seen these kids, because I know they've always had athletes. You guys have always had athletes that are capable of doing that. Let's switch it over to the defensive side of the ball. How are you thinking, or how are you looking right now as you get ready for the playoffs there?
Well, I like the things we're doing. Our kids are, you know, learning their schemes and playing hard on that side. Sean Mulligan is my defensive coordinator, and he's done a great job this year with these kids. And my other assistant coaches have chipped in and helped along the way. And so our defense, I think, has been adequate. You know, we've stopped some teams. Some teams you just try to slow down. You can't stop them completely, but make them go the long way. You might give up some yards, but don't give up points. And so we kind of bent and not broken sometimes, but some of the teams that we've played have very good offenses and very difficult to stop. Crete, you know, they were a big, powerful team that if they wanted to, they were going to line up their 280-pound offensive linemen and run right at you with a couple hundred-pound backs, and that's pretty tough to stop. So we tried to, you know, crowd the line a little against those guys. And Aurora, they kind of throw it all over the place and spread you out, and same with Gehring, they do the same. So you got to take a different approach. So we've kind of come up with a different scheme or game plan each week in and week out and tried to get our kids to learn it in between, and so far they've done a pretty good job.
Well, Jesse Ackerman has been a big man on campus defensively. We talked about your offensive kids, so let's talk about Gehring. There's going to be some vast differences between the first time you played in this one. Most notably, they make the trip to Hastings.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge thing. I mean, we went and got on that bus and took that 6-hour drive and go out there and play, and I thought we just seemed a little lethargic, I thought, early. moved the ball well but did not finish our drives. And then I thought as the game went on, we kind of got into it a little bit more and came home with a three-point win, which I think was maybe a bigger win now that I look back at it than I did at the time. For them to come here, I know they're a little more used to traveling than our kids are, but that's still a long time on the bus and stuff, so I'm hoping that gives us a little bit of an edge.
Well, Class B went back to statewide. There's not an east and a west, but that's not going to make any difference for you guys. The road's going to be through the west until you get to Lincoln if you can get those wins after wins after wins. And I know you have to take them one at a time, but just humor me a little bit. You pick up the bracket. You see what you got. You see that you played McCook tough. I got to think this team has some confidence.
Well, I hope so. You know, I think we're kind of an old blue-collar group. We kind of pick up our lunch pail and go to work and get after it for a while and then get our lunch pail and go home. And that's kind of been my approach throughout my 30-some years. But these kids here have been a lot of fun, and they do get after it, and they play hard. And I think they got a great perspective of the game. We, you know, when we played McCook, had one of my starting kids come up and says, "Coach, I know we lost, but God, that was a lot of fun tonight." And I think, you know, they're not a kid that's going to drop their head for too long. They pick themselves up, and they're pretty resilient. And they realize that it's a game, and they have fun doing it. And win or lose, we know we're going to go out and give us our best shot, and that's what we can control. We can't control sometimes our opponents or how good they are. So our kids get after it pretty good and control what we can. And when it's done, we grab our lunchbox and go home for the night.
Well, Bill Carlin's with us for just a last minute here, and I know if we're getting ready to broadcast the game, we keep it pretty much about the X's and O's and things like that, but here on Doug and Daddy, we can throw out a couple more things. And I know we've talked about this, and you mentioned the 30-plus years you've done it. Everybody kind of thought Coach Tesmer was going to step down after the state title last year, and here they are undefeated again going in. And I know Hastings has its bumps in the roads, but I think everybody says at Hastings High it's getting better after what they did last season. Is it still there? How does the future look for all of these schools, and how do the three coaches and their staffs manage to get along and still win all these football games?
Well, we get along well, I think, for the most part, you know, as far as teams that play each other. And I think Coach Rebarger up at Hastings High does a great job with his kids, and they're coming along. They're getting better and better, and they're trying to get back to those teams that they had when Coach Olson was here and won a couple state titles. And Coach Tesmer right now has got great things going on at St. Cecilia. They, like you said, have won a few in a row here, and they got about 45 regular season wins and that stuff in a row. And so he does a great job with his kids. And, you know, it's hard to stay on top, you know. So everybody's shooting at them and trying to take a shot at them. But he's done a great job with keeping his kids up there. And I think any coach would tell you that we're as good as our kids are. If our kids are good and they make us look smart, and if you start to run out of athletes, you're just not as smart anymore. And so right now, you know, everybody's kind of riding that wave of you're as good as your kids, and I think most coaches would tell you that if they're really honest.
I guess for the fans out there, we look at the bracket. Do you have, of the nine teams you've played, do you know who the best team is right now?
Well, I think probably if I had to pick one, I'd take Crete. They got the big kids up front. They're really physical. They got two linemen that are maybe two of the best linemen I've seen this year of our opponents, and they put those two guys, they're both 280 pounds, put them side by side. It's pretty hard to stop them right there. They got three running backs that are between 200 and 210 when you count their quarterback, because they use him like a running back. And then they have a bunch of little fleet receivers that if they want to go to a passing game, they can bring them in. And they got a bunch of little scat backs out there going all over. And so you got to defend a lot of that. So they got a lot going for them. I think they're pretty good. Their kicking game's pretty sound. Their defense is very physical and very good. So I would say they're probably the best team we've seen so far.
Well, Coach, we'll let you get back to preparations. We appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and hopefully it's a long month of November. Get into November and see what happens with the Patriots.
Okay, thanks a lot, Doug.
You bet, Bill. Bill Carlin, head football coach at Adams Central. They're in a scenario, a couple other teams in the area are as well. They got a tough first-round game, and that means obviously they're going to have a really tough one or two seed, in this case a one seed, but they took McCook to the wire. So it would be interesting if they got that rematch next Friday.
Well, I think if you're those kids, hey, I don't care if they're one seed or not. We played right with them. We think we should have won.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
it's not like you're going into something that you don't know anything about and they're number one. You know, you know you've been there. You'll go back to their place. It'll be an interesting matchup. But we got to get through the first week. All C and D today, A and B tomorrow. We'll talk more about where we're going to be. And you can always go online to PlatteRiverPreps.com and check out not only where we're going to be broadcasting, but listen to the live audio stream. You can check out articles on your teams in the playoffs. You can check out pictures and photographs of games that we have been to throughout the season. And, of course, it's not just football. Volleyball and all sports, fall and now as we get into winter, are online at PlatteRiverPreps.com. And all of our friends and folks and guests and people and guys and Bill Carlin taken care of by our friends at BK. New BK Minis, burgers or chicken, check them out today. And, of course, the original chicken sandwich is still two for $4 at BK. Two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Get your fantasy football questions in now because Jeff Erickson from RotoWire joins us next.
Wow, what a wild start to the football season. Record-breaking kick returns, last-minute touchdown grabs, and teams nobody expected jumping out to a great start. Not even yours truly could have predicted the twists and turns we've seen so far in both college and the pros. But one thing you can always predict, all season long, you can find the seats you want at StubHub, and often for a lot less than you think. Head to StubHub, grab your seats, strap in for what's sure to be one heck of a wild ride.
StubHub!
You work hard. Sitting down on the job, not an option. Sitting down so we can precisely fit your boots, it's the best option. At a Red Wing shoe store, we still use tools to precisely measure feet. It means a better fit, a customized fit, so you can work better. Red Wing boots are purpose-built for the exact work you do. You'll only find this kind of service at a Red Wing shoe store. Red Wing shoes. Work is our work.
Jerseys has all the games you want to see for the season. Get to Jerseys on Husker game days. Free Jello shots for everyone when the Huskers score a touchdown. Beer and lots of food specials. Jerseys has the full NFL package and offers $3 Bloody Marys all day long. And the best bucket prices in town. Remember, there are specials every night at Jerseys. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Jerseys Sports Bar and Grill located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, North Kearney, where the game and the grill are always on. ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today as temperatures top off at about 54 for a high. Winds out of the west will stay from 5 to 15. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, we head back to 26 with a light west wind. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 45.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth, where hassle-free pricing also means stress-free. It's on every vehicle on both lots at Midway, Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, and Midway, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. You can check them out online, thinkmidway.com. There are the prices, pictures, and in some cases, most cases, videos of all the new and pre-owned vehicles that are on their lot. Then you come in, They help you find the vehicle that meets your needs and your budget, and you know what the price is right from the get-go because it's online and it's right there on the window of every one of their vehicles on both lots. It's hassle-free. It's stress-free. So come on in. Keep it simple at the Midway Auto Group. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. We'll be cruising around in our Midway Chevy Silverado 2010. Blazing red truck today as we head to Shelton and to Minden for high school football. Also, Duncan Field is where Mike Will and the gang will be for St. Cecilia Baird. Craig will be over at Ravenna for Ravenna Blue Hill tonight. Randy Bushcutter at Miles Field for Kearney Catholic Thayer Central. It's a great, great time. Great, great time. And then I pull up my fantasy football team and I go nuts!
Jeff Erickson joins us. RotoWire. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing good, guys. Last week was kind of bloody, though. It was so many injuries and so many good teams on bye. It was tough.
Matt Stafford, Sean Hill, what do you do?
Stafford practiced with the first team today, so I'm assuming that he's going to go. I know he was limited yesterday, but I would be really surprised at this point if he doesn't play.
I want to go to Andre Johnson.
Well, I got some quarterback questions, and then I'll let you talk. let's go to the email here. Tori says, Andy Dalton, Christian Ponder, or Sean Hill?
Death is not an option. Andy Dalton, go because he's got A.J. Green to work with there. I don't love it because it's on the road at Seattle.
I think Alex Smith is still out there. Do you take a chance on this guy?
I would, actually. He's playing pretty well this year. He gets Braylon Edwards back this week. I think he's actually a little bit better than those guys.
Andre Johnson, what do you do with him?
I'm probably not starting him this week. Here's the thing. He practiced yesterday, but the quotes afterward weren't that great. You know, the latest on him is, first of all, it's definitely a possibility, whatever that means. But then he goes, he remains cautious about that, whether he's going to be able to go. Still feeling some tugging and stuff in his leg is what he was quoted as saying. So I just don't know if he's going to be able to get through the whole thing. I think tomorrow's practice will be really important as far as that goes.
Don says, you've got Cedric Benson. He's got Peyton Hillis on his bench. Is it an automatic Peyton Hillis, or do you have to go somewhere else?
Hillis didn't practice today. It's certainly not automatic. You may have to go somewhere else. Bernard Scott's his replacement, is Benson's replacement.
He listed his options.
Okay.
Reggie Bush, Stephen Ridley, John Kuhn, McCluster, Jed Collins, who I guess plays for New Orleans. I've never heard of him.
Yeah, fullback. Yeah, sure.
Javon Ringer.
Reggie Bush, I guess. Daniel Thomas didn't practice yesterday. They'll split carries again this week. Don't like it, though. It's again out on the road against the Giants. Otherwise, Ridley, I guess, against the Steelers, because the Steelers, actually, you can run against them. I think that it's going to be Ben Jarvis Green Ellis that gets most of the carries there.
Wow, we go deep into the knowledge of Jeff Erickson, senior editor of RotoWire here. Let's stay with the emails. Roy Helu or Brian Leonard?
I like Helu. Of course, trying to deal with the whims of Mike Shanahan, which we learned again last week, that you can't trust him. Ryan Train was supposed to be the starter. Next thing you know, Timmy Hightower is out there getting all the carries. Helu was actually on the field more than any other Washington back last week. He was on for 33 snaps, Hightower for 31. Anytime there's a passing situation, he's going to be the back that's out there. I know that Terrain is the likely starter. I think Haley was the guy with the higher upside.
Jordan says Marshawn Lynch or Bernard Scott.
Marshawn Lynch, although you got to watch the practice reports. Obviously he killed a lot of people last week at that late scratch, so we're going to have to pay attention to that. Participated in yesterday's walkthrough. They expect him to be ready to play. If there's any doubt on his health, then you go Scott.
One of these three, Ryan Matthews, McGahee, or Daniel Thomas.
Ryan Matthews, easy one there. McGahee's out this week. He's got the broken hand. He might be out multiple weeks.
Let's stay with our emailers here. Kevin Walter or Malcolm Floyd?
Floyd missed the second half of last week's game with a groin strain. I'd go with Walter. Floyd might practice this week. We'll see what happens. They've got the Monday night game, though. And the problem with that is if he doesn't go, you have no recourse. You can't swap at the last second.
Jim wants to know, Plaxico Burress. Yes, three touchdowns, but the yardage was, 26?
Yeah.
Right.
Do you play him every week regardless?
No, he's kind of a matchup sort of guy. It depends on your alternatives. I think if you've got someone like Anquan Boldin and Brandon Lloyd, you're going to start them over him every week. But if it's like Kevin Walter versus Plaxico Burress, then you go Burress.
We're talking with Jeff Erickson, the senior editor of RotoWire. Email us your questions to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Points per reception league, play two of the three running backs, Frank Gore, Ryan Terrain, Jonathan Stewart.
Gore for sure. Terrain versus Stewart. Try to get information from the Redskins if you at all can possibly can there on that one. Right now I have Stewart higher in my ranking. Stewart is getting whatever goal line carries the running backs get. Now keep in mind it's also a case there where Cam Newton steals a lot of those carries too. But I think Stewart is actually more startable than D'Angelo Williams right now, so let's put it that way. It's a close call. I'm going to say Stewart right now.
Tom says Marion Barber.
On bye this week.
But Marion Barber, any value to him?
Only as a bye week fill-in. I actually used him in one of my desperation plays last week, and he stole a touchdown away from Forte. But Forte's been so good otherwise. I think that Barber, at best, you get 4 or 5 points in a given week. And say, if you get a touchdown, great. That's what you're basically hoping for is a vulture touchdown.
Terrence wants to know, I need to start, and this is a standard scoring league, he says, need to play two of the four, Jackie Battle, Jonathan Stewart, Ben Tate, Jeremy Maclin.
Battle and Maclin.
Yeah, that was what I would have said. I'm learning. Yeah, I'm learning a little bit. I'm learning from Jeff.
And see, the thing is, of course, Todd Haley hates fantasy football, obviously, because LeRon McClain scored a touchdown. Javier Arenas out of the Wildcats scored a touchdown. You know, not let one of the running backs actually get the touchdown. And plus, he allowed Thomas Jones to still exist and have 9 carries. So there is that.
I should just drop Thomas Jones, right?
Out of spite.
Yeah, the one handcuff that I did have because I had a
Charles.
There you go, Jamal Charles. So I handcuffed him with Jones, and that didn't do any good.
But not the way you expected it to be, right?
I wouldn't call it a handcuff. I'd call it cement boots is what that turned out to
exactly.
be, Daddy.
Jeff, Christian Ponder or Carson Palmer?
Well, obviously this week Palmer's on bye, but long-term Palmer.
All right, here's another quarterback question, and you kind of hit on all of this here. It appears that these must be the folks that are still available on the waiver wire. He lists Alex Smith, Sean Hill, John Beck, Christian Ponder. Who would you keep Who would you keep all year? I mean, not just a bye week guy. Who would be your backup on your team, I guess?
Probably Alex Smith, because here's the thing. He still has 2 games left against the Rams. And that's going to be pretty tasty right then in and of itself, right? Also, I think he still has 2 games against the Cardinals left, too. So that's 4 really startable games. Plus, this week against Cleveland is not a good – actually, it's quietly – you'd think it's a good start, but it's not a great start, actually. Cleveland is with a healthy Joe Hayden, they're actually pretty tough against wide receivers. I think the tight ends will get used a lot. I think both Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker will get a lot of targets this week. But I think Smith is the most competent of those guys, too.
Biggest disappointment out of your top 12 quarterbacks at the start of the year right now is who?
Phillip Rivers. The Chargers as a whole. I mean, Rivers has had his games where he's got the yardage, but look at the INTs this year. 9 picks, only 7 touchdowns. His YPA is down almost a full yard. And obviously, having a healthy Gates would matter a little bit more, but, I mean, last week was just a miserable performance, and maybe I'm overreacting to that, but I almost wonder sometimes if Rivers is playing hurt because his decisions have been off. He hasn't been able to throw the deep ball this year. I'm really concerned about him.
I was going Matt Ryan, but that was me.
Matt Ryan wasn't in my top 10. He might have been my top 12, but I don't own him anywhere, so I guess I'm not disappointed in him because I'm rooting for him. I'm actively rooting for him to fail.
Wow. That's right. Not only does he tell you about it, he plays it. He has the feelings. He's the senior editor of RotoWire, and you can check it out anytime, rotowire.com. Jeff Erickson with us for just another couple minutes. So if you still have a question, buzz it into the Bruce Furniture fan line. Merritt will get that for us, or you can email us, DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Speaking of terrible quarterback performances, Monday night in Joe Flacco, is that a one-time thing?
It's not the first time this year. In fact, I think it's a third-time thing already. He's right up there in the disappointments list, too. I only have him in one league. But I'll tell you what, that was not a bad matchup, not a great matchup. Jacksonville's a little underrated in terms of their defense this year, but Yeah, that was such a miserable performance. I expect him to actually bounce back this week. He's got as cushy a matchup as you're going to get, a home game against Arizona. The only thing that could be better is a home game against the Rams. But I think that he's going to bounce back in a bit. But he's never going to be a quarterback that carries you. He's going to have his good weeks and his bad weeks. And I think that's basically, we have to ratchet our expectations down a little bit for Joe Flacco.
Henry, who's your number one quarterback this week?
This week, let's see, Rodgers is out, so it's got to be Breeze. Breeze against St. Louis, yeah, that's a gimme. Tom Brady against Pittsburgh is also cushy, more cushy than you'd think. After a bye week, the Patriots are so good. Belichick has 2 weeks to diagnose this Pittsburgh defense. I think the tight ends are going to go crazy this week. Vic is a good start. Cam Newton's always a good start, too. I think Roethlisberger also play well against New England. And finally, Eli should be pretty good, too.
Okay, you know, if you don't have Cam Newton, you want to smack him on top of the head for taking the touchdowns away from everybody else. But I see you, and I love the guy, and I played him last week in our no draft touchdown only because I think Steve Smith. I just like the guy. I don't know. I know he can be a thug and all that, but I like him on the football field. You've right. got him as your number one receiver this week.
Yeah, and the reason is I'm just kind of like. You know, Matthew Stafford's uncertainty, I moved Calvin Johnson down because of that for a little bit. I think Johnson's the safest investment out there. But just look at the yards. Look at the targets that Smith is getting right now. I mean, he's money in the bank.
So speaking of targets, so is Mike Wallace from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, wow. Missed on that one.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's getting that deep ball every single week. That's the thing that I like so much about him is that Pittsburgh takes their shots with him. You know, the yards per attempt are just so high.
All right, we've got a couple more before we let you out of here. First off, let's go to Jordan. He says, who got the better end of this trade? And here's the trade. Tom Brady traded for Matt Schaub and Roddy White.
I think it depends on what the guy had in terms that was giving away White, what other wide receivers he had. If he could have two viable options, I think he actually won this trade. Schaub still has a bye week left. He's kind of hit or miss in terms of his production. He's a pretty good quarterback, but he's not elite. Giving away, and Roddy White's been kind of a disappointment this year. I know he's been hurt, and Matt Ryan's been a disappointment, so that's part of it. But, I think the Brady side won, but it's close.
And let's go to Scott and Carney. He goes, I need to play three of these in a touchdown-only league. And there's five choices. One, two, three. No, there's four choices. Steve Smith, and we already know what you think about him. A.J. Uh-huh. Green, Marcus Colston, Steve Johnson. Three of those four receivers, touchdown only.
Man, I'm a Bengals fan, but I got to sit A.J. Green in this one. Road game at Seattle, one of the few true good home field advantages out there. I think I'd sit A.J. Green.
All right, there you go. And, of course, you can hear Jeff every Thursday on the Doug and Daddy Show, but that's not all. Where else can they catch you, Jeff?
We're on SiriusXM Satellite Radio. It's RotoWire Fantasy Sports Today. I'm personally on Monday through Wednesday starting at 10 o'clock Central Time. We go from 10 to 1 every day, Monday through Friday. My colleagues are hosting the show today and tomorrow.
Jeff, we really appreciate it. Thanks for all the knowledge. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
He is the best. Jeff Erickson, RotoWire, RotoWire.com. You can email them anytime during the week. They get back to you. They let you know what their opinions are, and a lot of great articles there as well at RotoWire.com. We'll take a break. Be back with more after this.
What do you get when you take an off-road legend and make it the most luxurious SUV in its class? Recognition. And the Jeep Grand Cherokee Overland Summit has gotten plenty of that. Which is understandable when you consider that its interior leather is more luxurious than that of the Lexus RX 350. It's even been named one of Ward Automotive's 10 Best Interiors. Just settle yourself into the heated and ventilated Napa leather-trimmed seats and wrap your fingers around the hand-stitched leather of the wood steering wheel, and you'll agree that it's earned each and every one of its numerous awards. And as the accolades keep piling up, you have to wonder if the only thing our luxurious interior doesn't include is a trophy case. The 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever.
Most luxurious SUV based on Overland model in 2011 Ward's middle sport utility vehicle segment when compared to the Jeep Grand Cherokee Overland Summit. AMCI testing certified, comparably priced and equipped models. Jeep is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grinned Island has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories the true outdoorsman like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse. Boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grand Island. When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney. Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get that hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, it involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
State football kicks off Thursday on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. We begin at 2:30 on 1230 KHAS Thursday afternoon when St. Cecilia hosts Baird. Then here on ESPN Radio, Sandhills-Thedford takes on Shelton at 3. Kearney Catholic battles Thayer Central at 6. On Classic Hits 98.9, Central City's at Minden at 7. And Blue Hills at Ravenna on the Breeze 94.5. Friday, Gehring Adams Central on 1230 KHAS. Papillion La Vista Kearney on Classic Hits 98.9. It's the opening round of the football playoffs.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Heading to lunch at the Chicken Coop. And, of course, after putting down Big Burger Night on Wednesday night, you are ready to go again and enjoy their great lunch special today at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Maybe you want to try the wings. Maybe you want to try the chicken tender hoagie. Maybe you want a burger. They've got great pizzas, ribs, munchables there for you as well. Maybe some balls of cheese.
Love them. Along with the chicken tender hoagie, ribs. You just said pizza to go along with it. They've got it all. It's Chicken Coop.
It's in Kearney and Grand Island. You can sign up for their text specials, for their home style specials that are there Monday through Friday from 11 to 4. And the lunch special is very reasonably priced at $5.99 at the Chicken Coop. You can also watch all of your favorite sports tonight. You've got college football. You've got Game 6 of the World Series. They've got all the NFL and college football games on. And if it's not on, all you have to do is ask, and it will be at the Chicken Coop, Kearney, and Grand Island. World Series got rained out yesterday, Tony. Should be good to go tonight, and we'll have it right after our high school football game, which is Kearney Catholic and Thayer Central with a 6 o'clock kickoff, and we'll join the World Series when that one is done. But St. Louis has to win to force Game 7. Do we have a Game 7 tomorrow?
Well, I think we do. I think St. Louis finds a way at home. They questioned the decision the other night. They pushed every other right button.
Matt from Roseland fires off our final email of the day here, and evidently he must have stepped in a sandbur patch because this just alerted him to the fans need to get ready to go for an 11 o'clock game. He goes, you know, Husker fan is always critical of the players, and I'm going to be critical of the fans. I went to the Washington game this year and had a good time, but one thing that's true is we have an older fan base in the stadium. I'm a younger guy, and I like to be standing the whole time and high energy. But our fans seem to sit on their hands if everything isn't perfect. This may be due to there being over, under 20,000 life alerts in the stadium. What do you think, over or under?
Well, probably over.
The players need high intensity from the fans on Saturdays throughout the game. I hope to see a high energy crowd this weekend because we need it. Matt from Roseland. A age-old, and I don't mean that as a pun, topic that is comes up all the time is the more you pay, obviously the older you're going to be and the more reserved you're going to be during these sporting events. And that has kind of creeped into Husker lore here over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a great point, though, about Saturday. 11 o'clock kickoff, make some noise, make it a tough place for Michigan State to come in. If you're going down, make a little noise.
You can still be the greatest fans and... Yeah, the same ones that Some of them booed last time around. But you can still be the greatest fans in college football by making noise for your team. It's easy to do. You yell, you clap, you stomp your feet, and you don't say, "Sit down, I can't see the game! Security!" Because then that's when the person in front of you turns around and says, "That's what we do! We make noise!" Have fun. There's a way to do it, folks. There's a way to do it. And have fun on Saturday. And tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Michigan State analyst Jim Miller, also an analyst with the Chicago Bears. He's on SiriusXM, a former NFL quarterback, former Michigan State quarterback. He'll join us tomorrow. Head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm, Drew Shinnick, as they get ready for their Halloween home game tomorrow night with Youngstown. Plus, Daddy will give his college and pro selections. Big Daly's Pigskin Pick'em.
I might be better than last week. Might have to take a week off.
Oh, my God. It's going to be great. Plus, we'll recap round one of the C&D playoffs. Get ready for A and B tomorrow night. We want to thank Tom Dienhardt of the Big Ten Network, Bill Carlin, Adam Central head football coach, and senior writer and senior editor of RotoWire and RotoWire.com, Jeff Erickson, to answer all your fantasy football questions. We'll see you from Shelton for high school football this afternoon and Minden tonight. Good luck to all the teams, Daddy.
See you tomorrow, Doug and Daddy.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.